Jesus Christ, you people suck.
Wow.
Wolverine on a tangent.
Back in the days when we played video games, it was hardcore for the nerdy and lazy. Now things have changed, and all our video games are also for the casual and lady.
But that's okay, you know the score. We told you a million times before, playing consoles, not just games, is in the past. And every week you listen to the best damn internet radio crew. It's the N4G Podcast. It's the N4G Podcast.
Welcome to the post Turkey Hangover episode of the N4G's Radio. I have a room full of exciting individuals who are just all happy to be here. Starting with Gamescom.
Greetings, programs.
Also, I have Justin the Killer Wolverine Test.
Hey.
I got the wombat. I got the frustrated fury.
Man.
That John W.
Uh-huh.
And I got Mr. Futon.
Yep.
Alright.
Kill confirmed.
Oh my god. Everybody's sleepy from the turkey. John, you have no excuse. You don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
No, I wish we did. I mean, it would be all right if we did.
Well, you killed all the party... You kicked all the party people out of England, so...
Yeah,
this is why you can't have Thanksgiving.
Nice things. Yeah, I know, absolutely.
Well, since you had all these wonderful days off of your job, maybe. Probably not.
You did, I didn't.
Yeah, damn right I did. I will start with Gamescom.
Yeah, the only reason why I had an extra day off was because I actually took a paid personal day off a couple weeks in advance. So,
oh, by the way,
much of a vacation.
You know, you had that guy call me for your review.
Yeah,
I told him you'd murdered 13 people and buried them in your backyard.
That's the kind of guy we want working for us. A go-getter, a people person. We want a self-starter.
Thanks, man.
Hey, no problem.
Somebody works off their own initiative.
They said, so, can you think of any reason why he shouldn't be trusted in a security position?
He's got a black panel
van. I said, do you have a pen?
Oh.
Just tell him he can't bring his ball gag to work and we're good.
Oh, you guys are crazy. Well... Games I've been playing this past week. Let me see here. I played some more Infinity Blade on the iPhone because despite the fact that I beat the main villain, supposedly I'm not even done yet. So, and it's fun. I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to the gameplay. I know it's repetitive and you just fight a bunch of monsters and armored guys like one at a time, but it's a really fun game, and when I'm playing it I'm always like, wow, this looks fantastic on my phone. I still can't believe I'm playing a game that looks that incredible on the same device that I talk to people with.
You don't talk to people on phones anymore.
Sometimes I do, but yeah, it's weird how cell phones have quickly turned into basically these little mobile computers
over the past 200 years or so. I know.
No, over the past like 2 years.
Da Vinci's prototype.
I was playing Brick Breaker, you know, when I was like 5 on my giant phone.
Snake?
Well, so was I.
Snake!
do.
Wow, really?
Nah.
But Infinity Blade is definitely worth picking up. Here really soon, actually, December 1st, Infinity Blade 2 comes out. And you'll be able to play it on a 3GS and up. However, for the full graphical fidelity of the game, takes advantage of the 4GS. So,
oh, it's so nice to see phones growing up just like computers.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I can't play any of it.
Pretty soon, like on the back, on the description for the iTunes, it'll be like system requirements.
It already is.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll probably wait until I get my new iPhone before picking up Infinity Blade 2. So, on to the next game. I played some more Super Mario 3D Land. And, Zero, how far are you in the game?
Oh,
plenty more of it?
Yes, quite a bit, actually. And I didn't realize that I had to collect coins to go to the next level, which kind
yes.
of pissed me off.
So you got stuck what, at the end of, like, World 5?
Yes.
At the castle, right?
Yeah, it wanted 50 coins. I only had 42.
Yep, same here. I'm actually in World 7 right now. And the game continues to absolutely amaze me. The stages are so... It seems like each world, the game gets even more and more interesting and more unique. I actually beat this one level where platforms were actually appearing coinciding with the melody of the music that was playing. It was like one of the coolest things ever because I actually knew that the platform would appear when I would like jump from one platform to another. I knew it was going to appear because the next note was about ready to hit. And I never got that sensation playing a video game before. It's always, you know, about memory, about muscle memory, about, you know, timing, in terms of visual timing. This is like the first stage I played in a Mario game where it was musical timing with the platforming, and it just happened in one stage, and I was like, wow, that was like so surreal for a stage, you know, for a Mario game. And I played another stage where like the whole entire stage was like almost like a big puzzle, like you had to solve these like little mini puzzles like throughout the whole stage, and it just was like, wow, this is really different than other Mario games. And I thought it was awesome. I mean, this Mario game is like, the further you go into the game, the more it's awesome. And I can't wait until you get into like World 6 and 7. I'll say this, the difficulty is ramping up pretty good now. Like I said last week, I didn't even feel like I was being challenged at all until like World 4. Well, I'm in the middle of World 7, and I'm starting to feel pretty challenged now. It's starting to feel like old school Mario now in terms of the difficulty. But I'm still beating stages. The levels haven't really gotten stuck yet. Gotten killed a few times, but not really stuck. But I'm really enjoying it. It's a must buy for a 3DS owner. And if you're a Mario fan, I would say that it's worth picking up a 3DS to get. It's just awesome. It's right now, it's probably my portable game of the year in terms of portable gaming. And that leaves us with the last game I played this week. And it's a very, very big title. I guess you could say it's legendary. I played Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword for the Wii, and I was kind of hoping to have a little argument, a little disagreement between myself and ZT about the graphics of the game, because I would be reading on all these like websites, all the reviews about the game, and all the positive reviews are pretty much like, no, just because it's on the Wii, the graphics are incredible. They're the most beautiful graphics like ever, and that there's no negativity at all to the graphics. So I was kind of looking forward to, you know, having an argument with ZT in this episode about the graphical fidelity of the game. Well, I don't think I'm going to really have that argument. I will say this. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword has the best graphics I've ever played in a PS2 game.
Not GameCube.
Okay, GameCube, yeah. Well, GameCube, but it was PS2 equivalent.
And you can put that on the back of the box.
Yeah.
You can, but I'm not sure you want to.
Skyward Sword is the best-looking GameCube game ever.
Wow, even better than Resident Evil, that remake.
Okay, it's tied.
Somebody just turned on their Samsung TV.
Yep, that wasn't me, though. I did hear that.
That wasn't me. Mine's in the living room.
But
make that noise.
Yeah, it is sad, ZT. I will agree with you that it's one of those stories of make the best with what you have. That's the best description of the graphics of the game. It's the development team that made Skyward Sword. They're at the top of their game. They got the art direction down. The art direction is fantastic. The game looks beautiful, and I will say this: it does look beautiful. It's so immaculate. Colors are great. I love the color usage. I love the atmosphere that the game conveys. But when it comes to certain structures, like certain temples, the way that like statues, walls, I will say that the naturalistic stuff looks really, really, really good. But then the non-naturalistic stuff looks just okay. And it kind of, you get this moment of like, oh, it looks so beautiful, and then you run around the corner, and then you're like, ouch, you know, that Jaggy just almost stabbed me. You know,
it's very dramatic.
It's just it's kind of like two steps forward, but then you trip and fall, but then you kind of like still catch yourself with your hands, so it's like not a complete failure. But I will say this: I'm just talking about graphics. I'm just talking about graphics right now. I'm not judging the game yet, but graphically, the game is a very, very beautiful game, but it's like an Olympic runner who has really, really bad shoes. Like
these analogies here.
Like it's like the best Olympic runner ever, but he's wearing shoes that will cause him to blister within like a couple minutes, but he has to run for like 3 hours.
I have no idea what's going on.
He can do it, you know. The Nintendo Wii can push this game, but it's lopsided. It's
hanging to the left.
Yeah, it's like getting a Lamborghini, and then you lift up the hood, and it's got the engine of like a smart car, and you know, its top speed is like 60 miles per hour, but then it uses in the advertisement that it, you know, in city limits, is still a very fast car. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
holy shit, I'm lost.
It feels like greatness, but at the same time, compromise.
Okay, so, I think I could probably sum this up. It's a Zelda game, and all Zelda games are awesome, but it's on the Wii, and that's the problem. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, that's the reason why I don't have a Wii anymore. Now, I was wanting to ask you about the actual gameplay, but I know you said you're just talking about graphics right now. But I'll ask this one question.
Okay.
Would the game be better if you used a standard controller?
You know...
Come on. I mean, the answer's got to be yes.
I will say this. From a pure gameplay perspective, yes. Yes, it would be better with a controller from a pure gameplay perspective. However, it would lose some of the uniqueness to the actual game if it was done that way. And I will say this, the enemies, that there's not as many enemies. Like, the frequency of enemy encounters is actually a little bit less than, like, the Twilight Princess or the Ocarina of Time. You actually encounter enemies a little bit less, the frequency, so it feels more like an event when you actually fight some.
Okay.
Than it did in the past. So it's not like you're, you know, fighting like 50 billion things like really fast, you know. I'm sure it gets to that point towards the further you get into the game, but it seems like now, like, enemy encounters are kind of like almost like staged, like, event encounters. So, I mean, it kind of balances itself out a little bit more. I will say that the motion control is fantastic. The sword play, it plays incredible. I feel like I'm more in tune with the character as I'm playing the game. I feel like the character is an extension of myself when I'm playing, and I think that's a really cool feeling. I will say, however, the part in the game that the motion control graphics didn't get me was the when you're flying on your bird, the bird segments. For some reason, that part just really pissed me off. It really did.
Did you know how to fly?
I it had the instructions on there the whole time, and I was following the instructions, but it just seemed like there was like one thing I just didn't get.
Did you flap your Wii remote up and down?
You see, it took me a couple minutes to figure that part out.
Yeah, once you figure that out, it's fine.
Yeah.
That just sounds stupid. It's not innovative. That's ridiculous to me. Now, I know I may be the minority. Some people may say, man, I love flapping my arms around whenever I want to play Zelda. But that is such a gimmick. That's the thing that's always got me about this. And the problem is they're trying to incorporate gimmicks into fantastic games. You know?
There's a part of me that wants to agree with you, but at the same time, it does add a little bit to the uniqueness of the game.
But they can make it unique in other ways, though, with a standard control scheme, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But I think Nintendo was trying to do their current, you know, system, the Wii, to go out with a bang, and they want, I guess they, you know, you know how Nintendo is. They don't want to admit defeat, you know, even in the face of it, kind of, you know.
I'll tell you one thing, Skyward Sword really drove home for me. It depresses me that I will never play a traditional Zelda game again.
Ever.
I guess you mean on a TV.
Yeah, on a TV.
That is to a handheld version.
Well, even the handheld versions have been rehashes. Not since Spirit Tracks that we had an original.
But still, Spirit Tracks, I mean, you still had to use a stylus for everything.
Yep.
You know, I mean, yeah. I want an old school good fucking Zelda game. It can even be 2D if it has to be, but
well,
use a controller.
You're making Link to the Past, likely.
Remake.
Here's the thing: if they remade Link to the Past, they'd use stylus or motion controls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately. But I mean, as a game, if you're a Wii owner and a Zelda fan, it's a must-buy, because it is a fantastic game. I mean, granted, I'm not going to say it's a 10 out of 10, but then again, I'm not going to say it's a 7.5 out of 10 either.
Oh, listen to you.
Yeah. It's a really, really great game, and it's one of those games that comes about once every couple years. That's a great Nintendo experience, you know? So... It's worth picking up. It's, I mean, like I said, if you're a Zelda fan and if you have a Wii, it's a must buy. It's fantastic.
I will agree with that.
If I still had a Wii, I would definitely pick it up. But I'm not gonna go out and buy a Wii just so I can play that Zelda game.
The game will piss you off if you prefer the traditional control schemes, but at the same time, you can't help but love it.
I mean, that's how it's always been. I mean, you know, it's just a great game that's hindered by the. Unfortunate fact that it's of the console that it's on.
Yep.
Yeah. And future fondling. That's I'll be playing more Skyward Sword. I was going to say that I'll be playing more DC Universe Online. However, I booted it up, and for some reason, it doesn't have my downloaded. Version of the game, and it started downloading it again, saying that I had like 1500 gigs still worth to download.
1500 gigs?
No, 1500 megabytes to download. And I was just like, really? Don't they know that I already downloaded the game? Wow. So I don't know if I'm going to play that anymore, but I'll try to see if it'll load up again. I think that's lame if my game just all of a sudden just, oop, I don't exist anymore. Oh, you know, because it took me all night. You know, I set it to download before going to work, you know, and it took the whole night I was at work to download. I mean, so that's pretty lame if it's just going to, like, glitch and disappear on me.
Welcome to the PS3.
I know. I mean, like we were just, you know, talking a little bit negative about the Wii. I mean, all systems have their faults.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So, that's it.
All right. So, I guess I'll move on to Drew.
Okay, well, let's see. I played some more Need for Speed the Run for review. You know, I said on the last podcast, I believe I said that, you know, I'm kind of liking the game. And I still like the game, but holy shit, there are some parts in that game that will piss you off. The resets are very inconsistent to the point where if you even touch the side of the road, you're going to get reset. And it's infuriating sometimes because... Those checkpoints, you know, it takes you back all the way back to sometimes at the beginning of the race, and sometimes you're like in last place now because of it. And the multiplayer is a waste, I think, because like I said in my review, it turns up Demolition Derby. If you ram a guy off the road, they get reset and they will never catch up to you ever. So. That's kind of a waste. I do like the little story mode stuff that they had. I thought it was really cool. But, you know, it was a great idea. It just executed very poorly. I also played some Lord of the Rings War in the North with Mr. Zero Tolerance over there.
Indeed.
We played a lot of that, actually.
About 4 hours or so.
Yeah, and... The funny thing is like it's one of those games where you kind of just like I don't know, you zone out a little bit.
You just kind of hack and slash. Yeah,
hack and slash, hack and slash, hack and slash. Oh, there's some loot. Pick it up. And I remember, like, for a good 45 minutes playing with you one night, we didn't even say a word to each other. We just, all right, let's go here. All right, let's go here. All right. Oh, there's a loot. And we didn't even say anything. Like, you've seen me run off to the edge of the screen, and then you follow me, and, oh, there's a treasure chest here. Okay, cool. And then we go back to what we were doing. But I don't know what that means, what that says about the game. It's a good game, but it does get kind of mind-numbing after a while.
Yeah, but I keep playing it.
Yeah, well, we're almost done with it, see?
Yes.
We are, like, on the last leg of it. So, I don't know when you want to finish that, but...
I'll finish it tonight if you want to.
I can do that. So, yeah, Future Farmland, I'm going to finish War in the North. Bam, get that out of the way. Try to beat some more games this year. Because I'm getting my ass handed to me. But, let's see. What else did I play? I played... All right, so I had a very strange schedule this week. I had to work second shift, then I had to work first shift. And then after I got off at 3 p.m. Friday... I didn't have to go back into work until Saturday at 11 p.m. So I had over 24 hours to do whatever the hell I wanted. And I spent that time playing Skyrim.
Skyrim.
Oh, my God. It's like, it's kind of like how you've been put under with anesthesia. And you look at the clock. All right, it's 1 p.m. I start playing Skyrim. And then I look up at the clock again. And it's like 6 a.m. And I didn't realize it was 6 a.m. It's like you hit a time warp. That's what that game does to you. You lose time. And it's amazing. It really is amazing. That game is huge. I do not know how they fit all that stuff in that game.
Crowbar.
It must have been a crowbar. And like sitting on the trunk to close the lid. But I think... I don't know. I think I want to say this is probably going to be my game of the year. It has to be.
Ooh.
I know. It's one of those games that just blew me away. And I'm going to continue playing more of it, but I have decided that I'm not going to play any more of it until probably at the beginning of the year because I want to finish some of these games up. Because I have a crap ton of games to play. Another game I play is started back up, Deus Ex, The Human Revolution. So here's a little interesting anecdote. I played a lot of Skyrim, obviously, this weekend. And I automatically went to playing Deus Ex. Well, in Skyrim, I'm playing both on the PS3. On Skyrim, if you want to bring up your menu, it's a circle button. So... when I switched over to Deus Ex, I went up to a vendor and I purchased some ammo and I purchased like a little upgrade and stuff like that. So I want to go into my menu to, equip my stuff. So I hit the circle button. Circle button is knock the fuck out of a guy. So I knocked out the vendor.
Oops.
I did that like three times in like a span of like 3 hours that I played Deus Ex. And I had to reload my save because obviously when you knock out a vendor, his buddies are like, hey, you shouldn't do that. So they came up to me and shot me in the face. So, yeah.
Just like a day in Georgia.
I know it. You don't punch vendors in the face. But, you know, I think I was a little harsh on that game whenever I played the not-so-legal version. because I'm actually enjoying that. A little bit. Now, I haven't done my first boss fight yet. I'm on the mission to where I do my first boss fight, basically. At least I think so. I'm still in Detroit, but I think I'm at the end of Detroit. But, yeah. I can't pass judgment on it just yet until I see exactly what that game has to offer. And if the boss fights are as bad as people say they are, yeah.
My only suggestion is that you get yourself the Typhoon explosive system before you fight the boss.
Ah, crap. I'm already on that mission.
Well, you might get enough points for a Praxis kit.
Maybe. Okay. Well, can you kill them by... Do you have to actually kill them, or can you, like, knock them out with your...
No, you have to kill them.
Well, I have no gun to kill them with.
There's a lot of stuff in the room. There's explosives and there's bigger guns.
But... Okay. What about, say, I'm going all, you know, stealthy, knock guys out kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, I guess we'll figure that out. I am going to continue playing some more of that. But the other game I played, and I played a good amount of, actually, was The King of Fighters 13. Now, I know on the last podcast I said that the online was kind of sketchy. I retract that statement completely. I think the online is fantastic. There are a few problems with the game, though. First off, the boss. There's two bosses in the game, both of which will make you want to throw your controller. That's all there is to it. There's one boss, like, the boss fights are so difficult that when you die and lose to them, a menu pops up saying, would you like to use a handicap? And it gives you an option of handicaps. One of those handicaps being he has only 15% health left instead of 100% health.
Does that help?
Yeah, it helps. I'm going to tell you this. I even lost when his health was that down. That's how difficult this boss is. Anytime it hits you, you get frozen, and you're left open for a free hit. He has two supers, both of which cover the entire screen and do a crap ton of chip damage. But that is just the story mode stuff. The big meat and potatoes of this game is obviously, you know, competitive play. I think the online is relatively smooth. You will have a couple of games where there is lag here and there, but for the most part, I think it is a very, very solid game. It's a very technical game. I really enjoy playing it. I want to continue to play it, but I've come to the conclusion that I suck ass at it because I can't win at all. I mean, if you go watch that little, you know, versus video that we did, you know, Ken played, what, 20 minutes of the game? I've been playing for about 8 hours, and you beat the shit out of me?
Yeah, I did.
See, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Maybe I just suck.
I don't know. I'm not exactly a master of the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've played about, you know, a good amount of King of Fighters in my day. It's just, I don't know. Maybe, like, you know, 300 hours of Street Fighter has ruined me. But
it's soiled you.
It has. I'm just so used to doing quarter circles and stuff like that now. But, yeah, King of Fighters, the only other problem is, and this is actually a pretty big problem, there is no spectator mode.
It'll be in Super Ultimate King of Fighters 13.
They don't do that, thank God.
No, they just release a new one every year.
No, they don't. It's every 2 years, thank you. Because that's why they quit doing 98, 99, stuff like that, because they didn't do them every year. So they started numbering them. But, you know, I think it's a very competent fighting game if you're a fighting game fan. The learning curve is a little steep, but I don't think it's too awful bad. They do a very good job of teaching you how to play the game as well as give you a decent mission modes where you can learn combos and things like that. And it's all for $49.99, and it comes with a 4-disc soundtrack. So you get a lot of stuff for cheaper than the average game. So I definitely suggest it to any fighting game fan. Will it have a big following? Probably not. I mean, that's the bad reality is that there's just not that many people that play King of Fighters. I don't know what it is about Capcom fighting games and how everybody just clings to them, but I don't know. It's a beautiful game, though. It is one of the best-looking 2D games I've seen in a long time.
It's on your location, because I'm pretty sure King of Fighters is very popular in Latin America.
It's also big in Korea, isn't it?
Might be.
In Latin America?
I think it just kind of depends on where you're at. But, I mean, obviously, it doesn't have the same kind of following that a game like Street Fighter has, but
yeah,
a pretty big following in Latin America.
Huh. Well, Latin American listeners, if you really like King of Fighters, I suggest you pick it up. But I don't know. Will it be that? My big question is, will it be at the Evo? I think it will be.
Probably.
Yeah, more than likely it will be. because I think there has been a decent amount of, like, I know shoryuken.com, I follow them a little bit. They've got a huge, extensive list of everything, like techniques and things like that. If you guys really want to get into King of Fighters, check out shoryuken.com. They have a huge, complete list of everything you can imagine. And they got a pretty big following there. And they're really pushing the game, and I hope it does succeed. I think because it's a very, very good game. It's very different from Street Fighter. There's a lot of cancels and a lot of different things that you're not really used to that you have to basically train yourself to learn. But I think it's a fantastic fighting game, and I definitely suggest to anybody. Other than that, I don't think I've played anything else. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Did I say I beat Sonic Generations? I think I did last year. Last year? Yeah, last year. I time traveled. I beat Sonic Generations. I think that's talked about on the last podcast. But yeah, that's still a great game. And I highly suggest it to anybody. And it makes me want to go back and play some other Sonic games. Speaking of which, I did go back and play Sonic Colors. I went over to an old roommate's place. He's got a Wii. Had Sonic Colors. That game's great.
Yeah, just don't get too wrapped up.
Don't get too wrapped up.
Don't go playing all the Sonics now. You'll tarnish your feelings on that game.
So what's the worst one?
Sonic 4 was pretty bad, I heard. Yeah. Is that the first 3D one?
Sonic 4?
The first one, Sonic this generation. 4 episode 1.
I enjoyed that. That was okay.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
God, he has guns.
Sonic.
That was terrible.
That was a big blue piece of turd.
The probably
Shadow's not blue.
Sonic the Hedgehog, the original one for PS3 and 360, is downright terrible.
Oh, that's really what I was thinking of.
Well, see, they have a level from that game in Sonic Generations.
Yeah, but that's about all you want to play of that game.
I gotcha. Okay, well, I'll steer clear of that one. Oh, Sonic Unleashed. I forgot about that one. I heard that one was kind of crap.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get me some Sonic Free Riders.
Ugh. There's so many bad things with the name Sonic.
Well. But yeah, that's pretty much it as far as future stuff goes. I'm going to try and play some more King of Fighters, more Deus Ex. I'm putting Skyrim on hold. And finish up Lord of the Rings with Mr. Ken.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All right.
We're excited to zone out again.
Hell yeah.
Chop some shit.
I want to kill the Dragon 8.0.
Dragon 8.0.
Oh, yeah. He's just skipping all the cutscenes.
That's an old inside joke between me and Wombat. So I guess I'll move on to Key Dube.
Well, I played just a little bit of Skyrim, enough to get launched into oblivion by a giant. I kind of did it on purpose. I kind of was just roaming around, and I was like, oh, there's the giants. I want to see if I can do any damage to them. No, lesson learned. I got launched, and I was like, okay, I'm done. So I put in, unfortunately, Jurassic Park. And, you know, I was looking forward to this game. Everyone's like, oh, they did a good job with Back to the Future. Back to the Future is awesome. Yeah, this game, not so much. Really, really disappointing. It looks horrible. The voice acting is terrible. The story is, ugh. But, I mean, I don't care about the story. And I really don't know what else they can do, considering they had 3 movies already made. So it kind of makes sense, but I kind of don't care. And I guess I was also expecting a point and click, but it's totally not point and click. It's contextual, and it works, but sometimes it doesn't. And it assumes that you know what the next button press is going to be sometimes, and that kind of breaks things. Like, I was supposed to hold down the L bumper, and then a split second later, I had to do another button press, and I didn't even know what it was because it was here and gone. And, you know, it doesn't punish you dramatically sometimes. Sometimes it does. Like, in this case, it didn't. But in another case, and this was, I was, you play as, in the first episode, halfway through, you play as Dr. Harding, which if you all seen the first movie, he is the only character in the movie that you play as. The other ones don't even get mentioned that much. But anyway, I was caught in between a fight between a T-Rex and an Alpha Triceratops. And instead of running around the fight, decided to go through it. Now, keep in mind, you don't control which way the characters go. They run automatically. So, and the game decided to put you in between it, and you got to run through them. Like, run, you know, in the middle of the fight. While pushing buttons to dodge their attacks on each other. Well, you know how sometimes game developers, you know, I don't know who has control over where the Xbox notifications pop up, but this one kind of hinders the gameplay, because it goes on the bottom, and the button I had to press popped up at the bottom the exact same time the notification came up, and I totally got sandwiched in between both of them and died.
You would think so.
It was cool to see that, you know, my character get, you know, rammed in by a Triceratops into a T-Rex's mouth, which, you know, and then, you know, his daughter freaking the fuck out, which was hilarious. But other than that, it was that was kind of annoying because I couldn't see the damn button. So,
is it bloody?
No, there's no blood. Like when you die, they show like a quick death scene. Like I died another time as a Harding's little girl. I missed the button press again or something, or didn't press it hard enough, or, you know, because you sometimes got to rapidly press like a button.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't push it, you know, fast enough, and the T-Rex kind of just, you know, ate me, and that was it. They just showed the T-Rex clamping down, and then it said, "You died," or some shit. So it's, you got to really love Jurassic Park. And even then, it's pretty mediocre. It's definitely not worth $40, and I found out from Ken that the Xbox 360 was the most expensive version. Because
that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot for a shitty game. And
well, is that a downloadable title?
Not for 360.
Not on the 360, it's disc only. Which is disappointing,
okay.
Because on the iTunes store, it's $7 per episode. Which makes it, there's only four episodes, so that's $28. So
that's Microsoft ripping again.
You'd play one and not want to play the others, so there's $7.
So exactly. So you, in essence, spend $7.
we all shit on Canvas for playing iOS games, but, you know, that's not a bad way of doing it.
The problem is that the game is designed for a touch device. I mean, if you look at the way it actually plays out, it's like Telltale designed it for iOS first and then ported it to every other platform.
I can't speak for that because I haven't played Back to the Future, and you know, I can't imagine this being a touch or point and click, because I really can't. I can't see this game being played as a point and click. I don't think it'll work.
That doesn't sound like a point and click at all. It sounds like an on-rail shooter with no shooting.
No, yeah. Essentially the way I think it probably works on iOS is you actually touch the button that pops up. Instead of pushing it in a specific direction, like having a simulated thumb pad, my guess is that you actually touch the screen where it shows up.
Well, that would just break things even more, I would think. That would be more annoying than what it is on the 360. Because it's annoying. Because it's almost like, it's not as complex as the button or the contextual stuff on Heavy Rain. It doesn't get that hard and that stupid. But it gets pretty stupid.
It does later when they start layering like three at a time in rapid succession.
Okay, see, I haven't done that. I'm only on episode 2. I can't stomach it. I really want to push through it just so I can trade it in, but I may not even get that far before trading it in. Jeez. I mean, the score sucks, which, you know, if you're a fan of Jurassic Park, you know John Williams did a fantastic job of the score. They keep the theme, the main theme, but other than that, it sucks. I don't know who did it. I don't. Right, it's just an awful game. It really disappointed me because I was really looking forward to it. And I know Drew and Ken both said that they're in charge of Walking Dead. They better not fuck that up.
Don't be pissed.
Right now, is they better not fuck up Walking Dead.
Because,
but surely that kind of game or that kind of material, like The Walking Dead, unlike Back to the Future, is more aimed or geared towards something like Jurassic Park, where yeah. it's, as you yeah. say, it's contextual, yeah. as opposed to point and click. It's going to be running from zombies, killing zombies. Right. This could be a problem.
Wait, well, let's also remember Telltale was in charge of the Lego games. They yeah. did the Lego games, so...
No, they didn't. Is Traveler's Tales.
Oh, that's yeah. oh shit.
See, I get him confused Sorry. Too, Mike. So.
Alright, thanks. I'm glad
I don't know much, but I know my Lego.
You know, what they need to do is spend more time with The Walking Dead. Look at Jurassic Park and its failure and see what they can do better. Because it had potential. The only thing that I was, you know, iffy about going into it was the story. And it's just bad. But
the only thing that Jurassic Park did well that I'd like to see them bring over to The Walking Dead is there were some instances later on of timed sections where you have to do the investigation and the exploration quickly because you're running out of time. That seems that mechanic applied to you know, kind of a more Back to the Future traditional point and click seems like it would work better in The Walking Dead, because there's got to be that tense where, you know, they're closing in on us, we've got to do something quickly kind of mentality going on in Walking
Which,
Dead.
Which, if they do that, I understand where you're saying it, because it makes sense, but I'm the type of gamer who just, you know, who doesn't do well with timed events, because I get all twitchy and, you know, I got to, like, do this quick. I'm not good at that. And if they incorporate that, I would not have a lot of fun with it. But I can see why you said...
Like Back to the Future... Yes, I mean, truth be told, Back to the Future did not control very well.
Ew.
I just... See, I like, that's the thing about Telltale. Maybe it's time to start thinking about maybe trying to make a action game, maybe? You know?
Completely changed direction.
Right, and I agree. I think Jurassic Park would have been good as an action game, because we haven't had one since... Oh, God, I don't remember when the last time.
Genesis, maybe?
That was, Sega CD was after the...
No, you're all forgetting Trespasser.
Which I never heard of.
You've never heard of Trespasser?
I don't think so. What's what?
It was a PC game.
Oh yeah, I never. I don't play PC games.
So it was asshole.
The Super Nintendo one I played quite a bit. I think even had some first person segments in it.
The Velociraptor.
That was Genesis.
Okay. Yeah, that was a Genesis one.
The Super Nintendo was the top down one.
Yeah.
But if you went into a building, it was like first person shooting.
Okay, right. That's what I thought I remembered, and it was like. Through goggles, because they have vision goggles.
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, I thought this game was going to play a lot like the Sega CD one, because that was point and click, and they did that well. I enjoyed that game. I really did, and I was expecting something like that, and they really disappointed me. And it's kind of sad, because I love that movie, and I love that franchise. Until they put guns on dinosaurs, which is still the rumor for Jurassic Park 4. We'll see what happens.
No saucers.
Oh, but, other than that, I've been playing a shit ton of Saints Row. And I forced my, had to force myself to play the story, because I was having a lot of fun going through, killing people, running them over, completing challenges, side missions, and all that crap. So now I'm about 50% through. And I'm on a mission that just sucks. I don't know, who's all played? I know Mike and Ken. I don't know if the rest of you played it, but I'm not going to ruin anything.
Which mission is it, though, dude?
You're in a tank, and you got to fucking shoot out the tires of a truck.
Oh, I haven't gotten there yet.
Holy shit, yeah. I ain't got there either. That sounds like ass.
It is, because you have your little homie, Pierce, on another part of the tank shooting out, and you'll understand this more.
Pierce is such a bitch.
But this is a different kind of tank. It shoots out some kind of like energy thing. And wherever I'm shooting, that motherfucker shoots. And you can't destroy the truck. So every time I've attempted this, me trying to shoot out the wheels, the motherfucker kept blowing up the truck. And I kept having to restart. So I just said enough of this. Ugh. That is the shittiest thing I've ever had to do right now in this game. And it's painfully hard. I don't know how you got through it, Ken. I don't know how. So a little advice would be cool.
I wonder if you play that mission co-op if your homie.
You can show him, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
I'll help you out if you want to try doing that co-op and see if
I don't
want to
ruin. I mean, the story's not, you know. I just don't want to ruin anything for you. honestly.
It's good. There's dildos, there's carnage, there's sex.
Yeah, I mean, I would appreciate the help because that mission sucks, man. And this is the first time I really got mad at the game and really wanted to smash some shit.
Oh, I got so mad at it just before we started recording at the second Guardian Angel mission because.
Oh, that was awful. That took me a couple tries too.
Yeah,
because I kept blowing up
all the way back to the fucking sniper.
Yeah, because I got the sniper part. I failed the first time because I suck at sniping. I got through that, and then I did the I blew up my my homies on the rocket, and I'm like, oh well, shit, maybe I hit a checkpoint. Nope, didn't hit a checkpoint. Yeah. So I just figured to let whenever the rival gangs come, I just let them get past the rival gangs and then blow them up.
Yeah. Jesus. Or shoot on the far side of them and just do enough damage to light them on fire.
Yeah, I tried that and I ended up, missing and hitting my guys. So.
Co-op makes that game a lot easier, trust me.
Does it?
Yes, right. I played most of that game through co-op.
Alright, because I think that's the way the rest of this game is going to be played, because, it's getting pretty tough. I put that mission on hold until, I figured out an easier way to do co-op, and I've been doing the assassinations, which...
They're fun.
Yeah, they're fun. I the one I was trying to work on before I got on the show started was you gotta find a muscle car and deliver it to a gas station. Which in that game, what the fuck is a muscle car?
I don't know. I just have everything in my garage. Every kind of car that I can find goes in the garage.
Yeah, that's what
I've got. A few modded cars. I've got a hearse that's completely blinged out. I've got a bulldog with a machine gun on top that is completely upgraded.
Nice.
I love those fucking things.
I don't know what a muscle car is in that game. I don't even know what to look for.
Yeah, it's not going to be a Vortex or one of those. I would try a bootlegger.
Yeah,
I have one. I don't think it worked. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to try it again, but I just can't find a goddamn car.
Either that or I'm going to check a guide and find out what the game defines as
a muscle car? Yeah, that's what I was going to do next. But, whenever I get frustrated in that game, I just pull out. I got a tank.
I call in a helicopter gunship and I just go fucking ape shit.
I haven't done that. I don't think I have a helicopter gunship, but I could be wrong. I don't do a lot of flying because
I think you get one during the story. So if you buy the upgrade for calling in a helicopter, it'll probably drop off a gunship for you.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I like to just get in a tank, just stay by my crib garage and just start. Because you earn a lot of respect, and when you're done earning respect, you earn money, and I earned a lot of money doing that shit. It's fun. It's a good tension killer. So, I'm really enjoying the game. I don't know. I don't really even care about the story, but I just want to get through it. I'm only 50%. I've been playing the game for 20 hours. And I'm only 50%.
12, and I'm 46%.
Oh, so you're close to where I'm at. Okay.
Yeah.
You all suck.
I've been doing a shit ton of the side stuff.
I'm 83% done. I've only played for 15.
No, I've been doing a ton. I bought every store. I own every store. I own almost every property. I've just been going around just taunting people, streaking. I'm doing challenges. I'm trying to complete as many challenges as I can. And so I don't know. That game is owning me right now. And when I'm done, I'm pretty much going to assume that Skyrim's going to do the same thing for me. So
here you go: Bootlegger, Hammerhead, and a Phoenix. I think are the muscle cars.
Let's try the Bootlegger. I think I got one in my garage. Can it be modded?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Because I don't know, I think I might have modded it if I have one. I don't know, man. That game is freaking sweet. So.
Agreed.
I'm having a lot of fun. Like, I want to play co-op, so yeah, whenever, man. I got
school. Maybe tonight.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because I got to do homework starting this week. So. That'll be that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm down for some too since Ken can't play with me.
He can now.
Oh, you can, son of a bitch.
What happened?
My online pass just died.
Oh, you finally got that resolved?
Yes.
He re-entered the code.
You re-entered it and it worked?
Yep.
Holy shit.
It shouldn't freaking work, which is the funny thing.
Yeah, because it's already been used.
Nice. It unactivated itself. Not deactivated, unactivated.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, at least it works. You don't have to go through any kind of bullshit to get it. So, good, good, good. Because I want to... How many players is Horde mode?
Just two, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
It's only two everything.
Oh, I thought at least four. Oh, well. Because I want to try that, too. But, yeah. Other than that, I played Halo Anniversary. And that's awesome. And I little did I know going into it that Kinect was supported.
Really?
And well, I mean,
sounds about right.
It's voice commands. Like, okay, like when I play games, I usually have my headphones on, and you know, I tried out the Kinect for the review, and it works. You shout reload, it reloads. I mean, it takes like a split second hesitation before it reloads, but which can kind of hinder it when you're in a firefight, but I mean, it works alright, but I mean, you look like a douchebag sitting there yelling at your system. So, I mean, you can change the brightness with Kinect, reload, you can change from the two different, you know, what it looked like 10 years ago to compared to now. You know, you can do a lot of that, but it's just...
What's the command for that? Ass goggles?
What's that? Ass goggles?
The voice command to get it to look like it used to. Ass goggles?
I don't think it's ass goggles. But that would be funny if it was ass goggles. Because you just sit in your room and you say, ass goggles! And you're fucking... Someone walks by like, what the fuck is he playing?
Kinect is the number one cause of Tourette's, actually.
Well, I just... You know, I don't know. I don't know why they would put that in. I just... Yelling at your system just isn't fun sometimes.
You do it without Kinect. Why not?
Do what?
You yell at your system without Kinect, why not?
Yeah, but the things I say isn't Kinect compatible.
Kinect, suck my balls!
Fuck you! It doesn't. Yeah.
So they should build that into Kinect responds to you. Oh yeah? Well, fuck you too, asshole.
That would be good.
So you want to turn Kinect into Siri?
Why not?
Xbox, why the fuck do you suck?
Microsoft and Apple constantly copy each other, why not?
Xbox, what does this red ring mean? It means you're fucked. Again.
But, you know, that game is fantastic. And, yeah, no one will play online on that, too, just to see the maps. So, but, you know, I can put them in Reach, blah, blah, blah. But who plays Halo anymore? I don't see any fucker playing Halo anymore. So, and needless to say, I don't see anyone playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I see every one of my friends was playing fucking Skyrim.
Skyrim, dude, I'm telling you, that thing killed.
Yeah, and I really can't wait to get back into it. I'm just afraid of what it's going to do to me. I mean, look what fucking Saints Row's doing to me, and that's not even half the game Skyrim is.
Yeah, I'm pretty much going to finish Saints Row, maybe play a shooter that's on my stack, and then it's Skyrim time.
Does anybody want to play, I just want to put this out there, does anybody want to play Gears 3?
I already told you I would.
I know. I'm just checking to see. Apparently there's something special going on this weekend.
Chicken clucker thing or whatever. The cluck show.
Oh, you're asking me if I want to play multiplayer?
Is it just multiplayer that cluck shot thing's in?
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. See, I haven't even booted it up yet, so...
Have you played the other two?
Yeah, I played Gears of War 1 and 2.
This game is... The story is, like I said before, it's fantastic. It's my favorite out of the three.
Yeah, so, see, I want to see how it ends. I mean, even though I didn't really like 2 that much... You know, I was invested in Gears of War 1, so...
Well, I think you'll like it. I mean, like I said, I think it's the best of the series, and, you know, the boss fight isn't, you know... It's a combination of the first two games, so...
I got you.
So...
I don't know, General Ram was a bitch and a half on fucking Insane.
Oh, y'all, part of it was you had, like, no room to move.
Yeah, and when you did move, you had to run to the light, because those bat thingies ate the shit out of you.
The Krill. Hate those fucking things. Anyway, yeah, enough of the Gears. I was just wanting to bring that out there. And if anybody listening wants to play Gears 3, I'm up for it. I used to be a pretty big fiend on the multiplayer in Gears 1.
So you used to play Gears, you used to play Call of Duty.
Uh-huh. I just got sick of it.
What happened? Did they get popular?
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm a hipster, you see. No, I don't know what it was. I think I didn't like the direction they went with Gears 2. And Call of Duty, I mean, I played Call of Duty 2 like it was crazy. Call of Duty 3 sucked. Call of Duty 4 was awesome. And then I skipped the World War II one because I was like, that's stupid. And then I went back and played Modern Warfare 2 And I was just like, I'm just done with this series because it's the exact same bullshit. You know, it's the first game all over again. You know, I just like, I'm not spending, you know, $60 a year on this shit. You know, it just got stale for me. I'm pretty sure if I went back and probably played Modern Warfare 3, I'd probably get into the multiplayer a little bit because I haven't played one in so long.
I'd say the Spec Ops is good. I mean, it's, you know, like last year, but they had, I guess you'd call it Horde mode, since that's, you know, the year started that shit. But, the Survival mode. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
So.
But, hey, I got a side question. What do you guys think of the Kinect?
Generally?
Yeah.
It has its moments.
I've yet to find the moments. I have yet to find those moments.
Rise of Nightmares is pretty good.
Yeah. See, the thing, like, I can't really fully get into any kind of games because I don't have the room. I have yet to play Kinect Adventures, so I got that for free. And I have yet to play it. I can't play anything. I mean, the voice control works fine, you know, with Netflix, which was what I was waiting for. So I use that. Not anymore, but I used to use it. But I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the whole phrase, you know, what they're coming up with. Everything is better with Kinect. No, how? How?
I can honestly say I have never used the Kinect.
I heard the head tracking in Forza is pretty good.
It is not. Because I had my old roommate, I went over to his place and played some Forza 4 with him. And he was using that head tracking. And I mean, what the... You're going to turn your head and then try to look at the screen at the same time. I mean, it just didn't work.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, okay, why did they think to add that in? I mean, I understand putting Kinect features, you know, with certain games, but not every single game from here on out. It doesn't need it.
Well, and the funny thing is, you don't need the Kinect for that. I mean, End War did it with a regular headset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I was asking because, actually, I just recently bought a Kinect and the game Dance Central. As kind of an early awesome. Christmas gift.
Awesome.
I still haven't taken it out of its packaging yet. I was thinking about doing it like maybe a week or two before Christmas.
Oh, dude, we need a break in the seal of that right now.
Yeah, we need to see that on video, yeah.
And we got the room. It says that it needs at least six, you need to be at least 6 feet away from it.
For a single player. You need about eight plus for two player.
Yeah.
Because, the absolute furthest that I could be away from it is, like, just under 9 feet.
If you, right. Yeah, that's not bad.
I mean, it's made for certain people. You may like it. I mean, me, I don't have a use for it.
You might be one of those certain people.
Yeah, you may like, you know, dancing. You know, I've always wanted to try the, you know, the workout games to get my fat ass in shape, but that ain't gonna happen. I go outside, you know, so fuck it. But...
I actually heard that the Dance Central game was actually a better workout than the workout games.
Yeah, Ken made me play the fucking, what was it, the second one or the first one?
First one.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a workout. I mean, mm-hmm. You look stupid doing it, but I mean, yeah, it's a hell of a workout.
You're just all mad because you don't have my moves.
I don't have your skills. No, I don't have your mad skills. So, it's, you may like it. I mean, I want to try Rise of Nightmares. I want to try Gunstringer. I think
Gunstringer's not bad.
No, I mean, I tried Fruit Ninja, and that's just, you know, after watching your video, Mike, I still wanted to play it. Cause you were all over the place, and I don't, you know, I'm liable to get hurt, you know, like, you know, try karate chop something, I hit my nuts, I go down in a heap, I pull a hammy, I don't know. It's just,
so what you're saying is I really didn't do enough in that video.
You did a lot, and that I don't know how you you know, you didn't hurt yourself because you were just going ape shit, y'all.
Well, part you did realize that part of that I did speed up the video.
Well, yeah, I know that. I know that wasn't you. I mean, that would be amazing if I, you know, you went all that, but you know, it's no, I don't. You know, I enjoy Fruit Ninja on my iPhone, and that's the way it's meant to be played, I think.
Yeah,
but
it's all that practice spanking it. Do you just move that fast?
Jesus. Already. gentlemen. All right, well, that's it. I'm done. Future is going to be trying to finish up some eighth Rome.
All right, so I guess I will move on to Mr. W. Maybe.
Hello.
His mustache was weighing down his lip and ability to talk.
I can't talk anymore.
Hello, John.
Wow, Drew, by the way. Yikes.
Is he on?
That's what they sound like, right? All British guys sound like that, right?
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
Oh, hello.
Oh, there he is.
I told him he'd sound like that.
You fall asleep?
I just did a mic. I had my mute button on.
Oh, nice.
What a complete tool. Sorry.
Go outside, really high. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, God damn me. What have I played this week? Me and Mike played some Modern Warfare 3. I'm sure he'll go into detail about that, but some fans of ours got online and we threw some shit down.
I got shot.
Excellent.
Yeah, got shot several times. Kill Confirm is awesome. That is an awesome online mode for that game. It just is complete chaos, and on certain maps it works really, really well. We come across some odd people using sniper rifles for that game, which is a bit odd considering it's not really about killing from a distance because you have to go and get the tags, but fun was had by all.
You can have a sniper and then have your buddy go pick up them.
Yeah, but they were all snipers, pretty much. We think, out of the sort of five on their team, I'm sure four of them had sniper rifles, so it seemed a bit odd, but still, it was all good fun.
See, that's why I can't play Call of Duty, because everyone's a fucking sniper.
I can't snipe on that game for Toffee. Battlefield I'm better at sniping on. I don't know. I'm
the same way. I'm a better sniper in Battlefield.
I think it's probably because there are places that maps are so large on that game. There are places you can actually sit and do that job properly without fear of getting knifed so much as you can in Call of Duty. But that's the way that the multiplayer works. It's more twitchy on Call of Duty, so it's not, you know, most people who do sniper rifling is they want to do it for props where they can kill someone without actually pulling in the sights and, you know, one shot kills in the head whilst using it from the hip. It's like fucking, I couldn't do anything like that.
Called no scoping.
Real quick, here's a question for Battlefield: is it worth $40?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Did you see my score, mate? It's 7.8 is pretty good.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, because I missed the Amazon sale, was on 30. I missed it twice, and it's on sale for 40. So
I think it's worth 40, especially at this point. There's probably patches in there that will actually make the tougher parts of that game more playable. It was only the odd glitches. Online's great, and it's just the stuff that wasn't working at the time of the review, and when we review games, we have to score them based upon our experience at the time. I should imagine now it's a lot. I haven't played it for a while because I'm knee-deep in Modern Warfare, but I'm sure it's the patches in there will make it a far more pleasant experience, and the story's actually okay.
How frustrating is the story, though? Because I know, Ken, you said it was frustrating.
There are parts that are clearly put there to increase the length of the game.
Yeah.
You know, I had to switch down the difficulty level at one point because you get overrun. Suddenly they're SAS members and they don't miss a single shot and you're getting pummeled with bullets, but it's clearly there for you to retry and retry and retry to just add another extra 10-15 minutes on the game, but that only happens every so often. It does mix things up quite nicely, from first person shooter to controlling a tank, flying a plane, gunning a helicopter. It keeps things fresh, so I'd say $40, which, you know, that's worth that, I think. $20 off normal. That's definitely worth it.
Okay. Sorry, thank you.
No, that's fine. Skyrim is another game that I have been playing the hell out of. That game is incredible, and it is sucking me in just as much as Fallout did, where you just, if you're not playing Skyrim, you're thinking about playing Skyrim.
Yep.
And it just takes over your mind, and, you know, I'm not a massive sort of Elder Scrolls nerd such as Ryan, who's played a lot of the series. I dabbled in Oblivion, but I've never touched anything prior to that. Although Morrowind is in the Steam sale, so I don't know whether that's worth downloading for a couple of quid. But Skyrim's just absolutely fantastic. I uninstalled it from my hard drive, and I thought, you know, I want to see how it actually does look. And it looks so much better. It's absolutely gorgeous when you take it off. I'll be glad when they get that patch sorted next week, apparently, which is next week anyway, where you can install it back to the hard drive, because it does suffer a bit from load times. But I've got to the point where I've decided to get it on PC so I can play it twice, because I want to do one, my current Nord character, because I feel from the way that the game steers itself, especially at the beginning, you're kind of meant to play it as a Nord. Because that's their homeland, and it's, I think that's how the story's meant to be told, but I also want to play it with one kick-ass magic elf, so I'm playing it as a second character on PC. But it's wonderful. It really is. And Drew's right in, this is my game of the year. This is not going to be what I thought it was going to be at the beginning of this year, with all the stuff coming out. I thought I had my top 5 or 6 nailed down, and I'm looking at my list at the moment, because I'm currently going through it, and it looks nothing like what I thought it would. And the problem that I've got at the moment is deciding whether Skyrim should be my game of the year, or that little gem of awesomeness, Saints Row 3.
Wow.
That game is fucking incredible. It is completely bonkers, but it just doesn't matter. The way that the controls, the driving, the shooting, the base jumping, the ability to get on a plane, fly right up to as far as you can go, exit the plane, open your parachute, then mark a base jump, and to land just for shits and giggles. It's incredible. I am completely spellbound by that game, and I hated 1 and 2.
You so didn't 1 and 2?
I didn't like them at all. I felt them to be poor, tacky GTA clones. And now what you've got with 3, I mean, I don't know whether it's, I didn't get on with the controls in the first two, I don't know whether it was the driving or the structure of the missions. You know, it's a game like Saints Row, you don't really play for the story, because it's complete drivel. But what they've done this time around, there's something about it, there's something that just keeps me hooked. And I never thought that would be the case. And I am honestly, at the moment, vying up one of those two for Game of the Year. And I've been playing Assassin's Creed Revelation as well, which, again, I thought was going to be high up on my list. I'm shocked by how good Saints Row is. Far beyond my expectations. Also, as I said, played some Assassin's Creed Revelations. Not a massive amount. Played a little bit more this week. The girlfriend's been playing it to death. She's now finished it and is a little bit let down by the ending, which I have heard is a little, it's hardly the revelation it's made to be. I'm enjoying it. The hook blade's quite good. Some of the missions, I mean, they're similar, but some of them are a little different. Instead of, like, they've got their own versions of the crypts and catacombs of the Second and Brotherhood. It's all there. The micromanagement of the shops, buying up the areas, earning money, it's still there. It's still annoying because you have to keep going to the bank to get money out, which is a pain in the ass. The tower defense stuff, again, I'm not getting on with too well, but it's a stand-up game, but I'm not feeling it as much as I did Brotherhood so far as a peak of that series. That's the one that's really stood out for me, and Revelations isn't. Again, like Batman and Uncharted, isn't living up to the last time round.
and it's a shame.
Hmm.
So I am well in shock. My top 10, at least my top 5, is going to be very interesting because it's not going to include nothing that I thought it would.
I need to start looking at mine, actually.
Well, I'm thinking it's only around the corner, and now you've got all the big games that are coming out, with the exception of... it is out. Mario's... Yeah, everything's out now, so...
Mario Kart isn't, but...
Mario Kart, is that this year, though? Is that
yeah,
December?
It's...
November.
Yeah.
Which is a really odd time, but that game's going to sell no matter what. I've started looking at it thinking, you know, I ought to start putting these in some kind of order, trying to think back, because a year's a long time, and things like what I thought would be at the top, Batman, Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, are pushed way down because of things like Skyrim, Saints Row, Infamous, L.A. Noire, some great games this year. It's going to be real tough for us, guys.
I think it will be for me, too.
This is my first full year of working with you guys, and because of which I've been reviewing more games than I ever did beforehand. And people think, "Oh, it must be great," and it is. It's nice to be able to do it for a hobby and get to play games like that. But it makes it really difficult when it comes around this time of the year when you're thinking, "What have I played? What stood out? Where do I put this in a numbered order? How would I do this? Because this was brilliant for this reason, but this was excellent for that reason." And it's so difficult. The more games you play, the harder it is to choose. And it is going to be a real toughie. Well, that's all I played this week. I think I played a little bit of Renegade Ops on, because I've got a nice new monitor for my PC. It's nice HD one widescreen, because I was rocking an old... 4x3, which is, you know, real old school. But I thought, since I've got some games on PC that I want to make look good, I'll splash it out a little. And I was just trying some of the other games, because I have to get the settings right, because I'm not firing on a full high-powered graphics card just yet. So you have to change the resolution down slightly for it to run on the system. So I was playing things like Renegade Ops, which is... again, such a great game, and I think it's on the Steam sale at the moment, and about half price. It's really worth picking up. That game's a gem. But other than that, I haven't been playing anything else.
All right, what you playing this week?
I think more Skyrim.
Of course.
I'm playing it now. More Skyrim and more Saints Row. Those two... I think probably going to see me out for the rest of the year. I may play a little bit of Assassin's Creed, but I'm hooked into... It's literally, I go to work, and on the way to work, when I'm walking, I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go in Skyrim? Which standing stone shall I go and find this time? Where shall I... And it's just incredible. It's just like Fallout. Fucking Bethesda.
Do you know, like, just recently, I've probably put maybe 40 hours of that game, and I just have found the first standing stone.
Yeah.
Apparently they are easy. There's one right where near you need to, or you head to first time out.
Yeah.
But I never found it. And
yeah, there's one right where the guy that you're with, if you go the Stormcloak path out of the opening, the guy you're with actually tells you about it.
Yeah, which I missed when I first played that. I was brought out by Ken, and that's when I put it in recently to go back and look for the stone, and I found it and got that achievement.
Did I read properly that the game has dynamic quests such that it tries to send you to places where it hasn't sent you, where you haven't been before?
That's absolutely correct.
I read it in your review.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I also know that the game will never end, which will probably be the death of Ryan.
Yeah, because you gotta be careful. Because just like I love Bethesda, they're one of my favorite developers, but Todd Howard has a tendency to overpromise. When we're talking about the game never ending, what they're essentially talking about are very superficial type
fetch quests
that never end, right? So
like get 10 bear pelts or
right, exactly. Hey, AI,
I hate bears. Please get me 10 bear pelts.
But so it's still MMO cool, does it?
But the Radiant storytelling is fantastic, because what it does is if it wants to send you on a quest to rescue someone's daughter from who's been kidnapped or something, it will look at what you've done and what places you visited, and it will find a place you haven't visited to send you to for it.
It's very clever.
So that the game tries to get you to see all of the stuff that it has to offer.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
That is a clever, especially, I mean, Fallout was pretty big, Oblivion was pretty big, but this thing looks massive. I mean, and the amount of places you can actually go to by having a dynamic system like that is just keeping you moving, taking you to places you've never been for, I think is just a stroke of genius, essentially.
I think in Oblivion there was only one side quest that I didn't do, and it was the one that requires you to go into like 7 or 8 different dungeons to get an artifact and bring it back to the guy in the capital.
Right.
But I think that was the only one I didn't do. But there were lots of them where it's like, hey, can you go here? And it's like, all right, well, I've already been there. I've already cleaned that place out. So it's a matter of just go in, get out.
Yeah. That's why I love just walking around, because whenever I start doing quests and stuff like that, I can just fast travel there instead of having to walk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I know you can get that clairvoyancy spell that shows you the path, much like Fable's glittery path thing, whatever, that shows, because it's needed in that map, because you've got so many mountains. A to B isn't a straight line. You can go right round the houses, and that clairvoyancy spell is actually really handy.
Yeah, I still
I can't wait to start it. I mean, it's like, I can't wait to start that. I can't wait to actually really play Demon's Souls. There are so many games that I'm just ready to sink my teeth into.
Next year, my friend. Demon's Souls, we're going to be doing that, my friend.
Yes.
It's going to be painful.
Yes.
Oh, I tell you what, just off the... as before we go on to the next person who's been playing stuff, I finally got a PS2 that works, so I can now play the bouncer when we do the retro stuff next year.
Nice.
Sweet.
So who are we at?
Ryan. I'm just done.
Oh, wow, you're just now done? Jesus Christ, do we have time for news today? Damn.
Oh, I'm going to be short.
Come on.
Oh, yeah, Mike. I forgot. Mike hadn't gone yet.
Okay, well, go ahead, Mike.
Okay. I played more Saints Row. We talked about that. Played Modern Warfare 3. Thanks to Pink Taco and Jay Stone for joining us for the Gamer Night on Friday. As I told them, that I'll be sending them some stuff that I have left over from XP, so they're getting some goodies for coming out and playing with us. I played just a little bit of Kinect Disneyland Adventures that I'm doing for review. Just got that in the mail on Friday. And it's really good implementation of the voice control. So you can actually call out different places when you're looking at the map. So it's like, hey, Frontierland, and it pulls up the Frontierland map. That's about pretty much, I've played about 2 seconds of it. I've, you know, watched my kids play more than that. But I need to actually play it myself some more. And then the last thing that I played, and I played in its entirety, is Serious Sam 3 BFE. And nowhere in the game do they actually tell you what BFE stands for, although the popular theory is Before First Encounter, since it's a prequel. Although the best alternate theory I heard was Bumfuck Egypt, which is where the game takes place. I thought that was quite funny. Man, if you are looking for an old-school shooter in the vein of Doom and Wolfenstein, like kind of the old id classics, such that you don't get a whole lot of direction about where you need to go. Occasionally you need to find a key to open up doors, some very, very light puzzle elements, but ultimately a lot of guns that you can carry, all of them at the same time, with a lot of ammo and a fuck ton of bad guys storming in on you over and over and over again. I mean, it's a 10, 11-hour game on easy. It doesn't have regenerative health unless you play it on the lowest difficulty, which is Tourist. But man, if you like shooters, if you like watching shit blow up, if you like firing rockets rapid fire, you need to give this game a try. It's out on PC right now, and it'll be coming out. I guess it's going to be coming out on console. I think it'll be probably not a full price title when it comes out. I don't know if it'll be downloadable or disc based, but if you like blowing shit up, it's a great game.
If you have a PC that can run it, but you don't like PC gaming because of mouse and keyboard, the native controller support is fantastic.
Awesome.
And you can actually map buttons to whatever you want. By default, the jump button is on the left bumper, which didn't kill me. It actually, you barely need to jump unless you're trying to do, you know, grab a secret or something. And there are tons of secrets, just like in Doom and Wolfenstein. And you could spend hours and hours trying to find them all. But, you know, it was great. I had a great time with it, and, you know, the review should be up this week. And then next week, I'm going to be playing Kinect Disneyland Adventures. I'm hopefully going to motor through the rest of Saints Row. I want to play at least a little bit of Skyrim so that I can consider it for Game of the Year. I want to play a little bit of Assassin's Creed Revelation so that I can consider it for Game of the Year. And then I'm going to go back and, you know, if there's anything else that's sitting on my shelf that I really haven't gotten a chance to play much of, that I want to put in a couple hours in so that I can consider it, that's probably what I'll be doing over the next couple of weeks.
All right, so I guess we'll move on to Wombat.
All right, so I played last night, my wife and I played some Mario Kart Wii, which is always a blast. And then other than that, the only other thing I've played is Skyrim. And it still is proving to be phenomenal. My review is up, so anybody that's interested can read it on the website. Needless to say, I gave it very high marks. You know, John has it right. The game, it's one of those games where even when you're not playing it, you're thinking about it. And it really does, you know, from a gameplay perspective, it reminds me of Oblivion. But from everything else, it reminds me so much of Morrowind. And that's a compliment, not a shot. The art direction is so much better than Oblivion. The characters are much better. The story thus far is much better. There's just so much stuff to do. The world is interesting. As much as I loved Oblivion, to be 100% honest with you, the world is kind of boring. I don't get that vibe from this game at all. I love this game. And I think it's a game that is... the nice thing about the Elder Scrolls games, and this is... this is where, you know, people sometimes push back, is, you know, people complain a lot about RPGs getting streamlined and getting more simplistic and getting more casual, quote-unquote. The great thing about the Elder Scrolls series is anybody can jump in and play these games. You don't have to know any backstory, although if you do, there's a lot of stuff there for you. The controls aren't complicated. You don't have to, you know, remember a whole bunch of stuff. You don't have to mess around with a lot of crazy controls. It's very simple. And the great thing is these games have huge mainstream appeal. So, you know, as an RPG gamer, regardless of what kind of RPG you like, you should be grateful to the Elder Scrolls series for bringing as many people into the RPG fold as is possible. You know, I know people that aren't big gamers that would never play an RPG. They would think it was the geekiest thing ever to sit down and play Final Fantasy. But they love this game, or they love Oblivion. So the great thing about, or they love Fallout. Fallout's a perfect example. I've got a friend of mine who plays maybe one game every couple of years. And he loved Fallout, and now he's looking forward to Skyrim. And he never would have played games like this if it wasn't for this sort of I want to say entry level sort of RPG, but it's got more depth than that. But it can be played as an entry level RPG because everything's so simplistic. So, you know, I can't say enough good things about the Elder Scrolls series as a whole and Skyrim in specific. And as far as future finaling goes, it's pretty much going to be this. although I actually, I've got Arkham City Return to Gamefly, so I might see if they'll send me Zelda in return. So there's a chance I might be playing Zelda next week when we talk.
Zelda. Yep. All right. Well, luckily everybody's pretty much nailed everything I've played, but I will random through this as fast as I can. I finished Jurassic Park. I shed a tear. Because it was not very good. Let's see. I played King of Fighters with Drew. Awesome. Great game. Yep. Playing some more Assassin's Creed Revelations. I think it's a wonderful game, but I'm still just not feeling it. I don't know what it is. I don't know
stretching
if I'm just.
It out.
I just think I might be done.
It's the taffy game. Just pull it as far as it'll go until it breaks.
I hear it's filler. What that game is?
Well, Brotherhood was filler too.
No, I would disagree because it was. There are parts in there that were critical to the story, but whether they were put in there to sell the game, I don't know. However, I know what Ken's talking about. There is something missing, and they should have left it this year. Left it this year, go for 3 next year, or even Revelations next year, because Ezio's a good character. But with this now, 3 next year, that they're trying to milk it, and that's foul play by Ubisoft.
Also playing some more Saints Row the Third, cleaning up side missions, just having a blast with that game. It's definitely going to be in my top games of the year. I played a lot of Lord of the Rings with Drew, hopefully to finish that up tonight.
Skipping cutscenes like a motherfucker. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. That's all he's doing.
What is that game?
What?
What is that game?
It's a Lord of the Rings game.
It's yeah. No, it's a
RPG
Baldur's
action?
Game.
Action?
It's an action RPG. It's like Diablo or Baldur's Gate or...
It's a hack and slash with a lot of loot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. See, if that comes up on a huge sale between now and the end of the year, or if Dungeon Siege 3 comes up in a huge sale, I might be tempted.
Both are well worth it.
Lord of the Rings more so, because the co-op actually works.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
The co-op is smart. Like, very intelligent.
I remember you talking about it. That's...
Yeah.
Rock on.
Playing some more GoldenEye, trying to finish that up. Think I'm almost finished with the single player. And a game that I hadn't had a chance to get into yet, which I sat down and played about 2 or 3 hours of the other night, and I'm kind of addicted to, is Peace Walker.
Yes!
I am obsessed
I'm so glad.
I'm obsessed with collecting soldiers. At first, I hated the idea. Like, it told me all this menu thing. It's like, hey, welcome to the mother base. You have to do all of this. I'm like, oh, fuck you. I just want to run around and watch cutscenes.
No, the mother base stuff is a game in and of itself.
And it's an awesome game. I'm collecting people for my mess hall, for my sick bay.
Hi, you're an enemy soldier. We're not going to let you fun anymore. Make me dinner, bitch.
Exactly. It's great. I just researched and discovered tortilla chips, which was awesome.
Dun, 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 dun. Digga dun, dun, crunch.
And you know what? The story in the game is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a really good story, and I love
I
the
really
characters.
Love those comic book cutscenes.
Yeah, what sucks, though, is I can't just watch them.
Yeah, because it's like Resident Evil. You have to, like, hit button presses and stuff.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird, but I love the characters so far. I think it's hilarious that they feel like they have to bring an Otacon back.
You know they always do, though.
Yeah. And I'm interested to meet Dr. Strangelove, because, like, the intro, she looks really interesting, but I haven't met her yet.
She's an evil bitch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I always love the characters in those games, though.
They have some great villains.
I even like Chico.
I can't stand Chico.
I like Chico. Okay. He cracks me up, because the way Snake talks to him, he's like, don't smoke until you're older. No, that's a great game. Looking forward to playing more of that.
What was McDonald Miller? It's not McDonald Miller, is it?
It's Kazuhiro Miller.
There you go. It's his dad.
Yeah.
I love that guy's voice actor. He has an awesome voice.
Yeah. I forgot when I played through Metal Gear Solid 3, when I was playing around with it, I forgot how much I loved the commander's voice.
The British guy?
Yeah. I love his voice in that
Major
game.
Major Zero?
And I also, I think it's hilarious that the boss... is voiced by the same woman who does Diane Simmons on Family Guy.
Really?
Speaking of Family Guy voices, isn't the voice who plays Trista Takanawa in Saints Row?
Yes, she's the voice of the news reporter.
What I thought. Sorry, you said Family Guy, and I had to say that.
But no, that's... Oh, God, I love those games. Can't wait to play through the other two as well. Also played Lots of Mario. A little frustrated at the whole gotta collect coins to get to the level thing. I hate that shit. I really do.
Yeah.
But I am still loving the game. My play of it has slowed because all I'm doing is going back and collecting coins now.
Yep.
So I'd really like to get through World 5 and finish that. Although I heard even after you beat World 8, it's not over.
That's what I heard, too.
Just an FYI.
That would be consistent.
Yep. So, looking forward to that. Playing lots of Zelda. We've talked enough about Zelda. Everybody knows my feelings. I love the game, but at the same time, I just want to strangle it.
Burn asshole.
Yeah, and it looks like burn asshole.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
That's his words, not mine.
That tastes great.
Yeah. So, there you go. As far as future funneling, probably finish up Goldeneye, finish up Lord of the Rings, getting me closer to 60 on the year. Would love to finish Zelda this year. Don't know if it'll happen. Would love to play some Saints Row, especially now co-op that my online pass is working again. And I think... Oh, wait, I did play one more game. My bad. I did play Tekken Hybrid, which is the... Like,
oh, it's the original Tekken Tag Tournament in there, right?
The Tekken Tag Tournament in HD, as well as Tekken Tag Tournament 2 Preview,
okay,
which lets you play four characters, as well as a movie.
Oh, the Tekken movie?
Well, it's the CGI movie.
Oh.
It's a brand new CGI movie, which I have yet to watch, but I did play Tekken Tag. Remembered why I don't like Tekken. Tekken Tag 2 looks pretty, still plays like Tekken, so I'm just not a fan of Tekken. It's a solid game. It's competent. It's just not for me. And I'm also questioning the value of the package. A demo should not be considered, because it's a demo. Tekken Tag in HD is literally the original game, just high res. Nothing's been added, nothing's been changed.
They Resident Evil'd it.
Yeah, pretty much. And the movie, I mean, granted, the movie's probably going to run you $15 on Blu-ray, so if Tekken Tag is worth $25 to you, then maybe.
Does it have online?
No. There's nothing different.
Oh, God, no.
No.
How much is this?
It's $40.
No. That's too much.
Yeah. So there you go.
And come on, really, we all know the fighting game that we're all looking forward to next has big fat swords in it.
Yeah, and costumes designed by the guy from Bayonetta.
Yes.
Which is just weird.
That's fine by me.
So,
but
that's
all the cop.
That's it. That's all I've got for my fondling. And now that the fondling is over, we get to do some quick news. I'm assuming the news guy is still in jail.
Yes.
That son of a bitch.
Him and his co-cavet.
Yeah.
Should not have assaulted that farm animal.
I should have never given him those doubloons.
Doubloon!
Correct.
PS3 Battlefield owners, you will finally get Battlefield 1943.
Because they bitched and complained.
Well, absolutely, and so they bloody well should have. I'm sorry, and didn't the communication from EA say there was a misunderstanding? You fuck right, there was a misunderstanding. You misunderstood us.
You know what the best part about this is? Is everybody bitched and bitched and bitched
and
bitched,
no one will play it.
And nobody will play it. They'll get it free.
Point, it doesn't matter. It's proving a point.
Yeah, that's proving a point that you're a whiny bitch for nothing as well. Just saying, both sides are to blame for this. And you know what? You can cry all day long and you'll never play it. So, whatever.
Oh, bitter, man.
Oh, I'm not bitter. I just think people should, you know... Why bitch about it if you don't care? That's kind of the point.
Well, it's not fair. I mean, I understand the bitching, but then I understand they're not going to play it. So save your bitching for something worth it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, seriously, come on. It's a 2-year-old game. If you haven't bought it by now, you didn't care about it in the first place. Ubisoft has claimed that piracy is the reason why I Am Alive is not coming to PC.
And then they backed off that statement, though, didn't they?
No, this is the newest one I've got.
All right.
So, if they backed off of it, it was more recent than, well, this Wednesday, I guess?
Well, they didn't necessarily back off of it. They just said, okay, we didn't mean to piss off the PC guys, but you're still not getting the game.
Another new Vita title has been announced. And guess what? It's another MotorStorm game. It's called MotorStorm RC.
Now, that might be cool.
Pro-Am?
No, not Pro-Am.
Damn.
SOCOM developer Zipper has also announced a shooter for the Vita. Imagine that. It's like Bungie announcing a shooter. Really? Telltale announcing a point-and-click adventure game. What?
I wish they had done that with Jurassic Park.
Yeah, well.
Snap.
4 million gamers are using Call of Duty Elite. 1 million are paying to do so.
How'd the rest of them get it?
The Hardened Edition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Xbox dashboard update coming on December 6th will add cloud storage, which is the best feature ever.
Yes, it is.
Well, they actually describe how it works, because seriously, I don't know how mine works on Sony.
I can tell you how it works after the show.
How do you not know how it works on Sony? You boot a game up, it asks you if you want to save to the cloud. You say yes, then you can log into another system under your account and download the save.
What I'm saying is that now that if I hit yes whenever I play a new game, it says, we're sorry, but you have used up all the memory. How the fuck do I delete that memory?
Go into your memory card.
I can tell you, I hopefully am okay in telling you this, you can actually manage your storage.
Well, we're talking about PS3.
I know, but I'm telling you, on Xbox 360, you can actually manage your storage.
You can manage your storage on PS3. Just go under your memory, go under your game saves, and there's a thing right there that says cloud storage.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Okay. See, yeah. I didn't know if I had to do it, like, on the website or some shit
no,
like that.
No, no. You just go in there, and there's a little box that says, you know, cloud storage.
Okay, cool.
So, but you do have to be a Plus member to use on PS3.
All
right. Just
I
FYI. Yasunori Mitsuda. Nah, that's not really a story. I'm going to skip that.
Sorry, not sorry.
It's just like a remembrance of his 10 years of making video game music. It's not really news. Miyamoto.
Listen to him, bitch!
Yeah, but it's not a good news story. We sure you should be doing news, John? What's up, man?
Okay.
Miyamoto is talking up Mario Kart 7. You know why? Because that's the only game that got left.
I'm looking forward to it.
You know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be cheap as shit, though. Come
on. It's going to be Mario Kart.
It's a rubber band.
The next Yakuza game is going to be enormous. It contains 5 cities.
What?
5 cities.
Wait, I wonder if they're finally going to go to America.
We're coming to America.
Because I want to see. I want to see Cosmo beating the shit out of, like, Italian mafia guys.
As I mentioned a little bit ago, Bayonetta designers providing Soul Calibur 5 costumes. Although Bayonetta will not appear in Soul Calibur 5.
Yeah, until the DLC.
Have they ever done DLC like that? I mean, the only thing I can think of that Soul Calibur has done DLC-wise is adding the platform-exclusive characters, right?
Yeah, they don't really add characters. They never have.
I mean, you can make your own character. I'm pretty sure somebody can make a freaking Bayonetta that looks exactly like
her. I'm sure
like
the outfit will be in the game.
Well, there you go.
So that would be my guess. Max Payne 3, Special Edition, only available until January 15th.
Wait, what?
You can only buy it up through January 15th.
That's...
Oh, pre-order, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Comes with
it doesn't look like it has too much... really cool stuff. If you're a big Max Payne fan, then...
Comes with a 10-inch statue, a bullet keychain, the soundtrack, some in-game content in the form of 2 DLC packs, a pair of prints showing Max's vices, pills, and bullets.
So make sure you swallow the right one.
Hey.
obviously Kojima says he doesn't have much to reveal about MGS5 right now.
Well, didn't they go back and say it wasn't really happening?
Well, it just says it was teased.
Okay.
Blizzard invested in console development like never before with Diablo 3. Blizzard talked about its new console development team working on Diablo 3.
So the question is, do I wait for it on console or do I buy it on Mac?
I bet you $10 they'll delay that game until it can be released with each other.
It'll be a PS4 and 720 or whatever they call it launch title.
Oh, well then. Well, since I'm not going to be playing Ruin, because I'm going to have to cancel my fucking Vita pre-order, those whores.
Don't worry, we got Torchlight 2 coming.
There you go.
Jack and Daxter collections heading to the PS3 HD next February, which is pretty awesome. Thanksgiving brought forth the Nintendo 3DS bundles, which included Zelda and Mario, which are pretty good deals.
Mm-hmm. Was it 180?
$180, and if you bought it at Toys R Us, I think you got Skylanders.
Skylanders, the 3DS pack for Skylanders, which is, you know, $70 retail.
So. Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, it's great.
So if you haven't bought a 3DS now, you can buy it with two of the games that are worth buying the system for. Bundled in the box for $180.
Yep.
How long is that going for?
I think that's until they sell out.
Really?
Yep.
Yes,
by the way, is there any word yet about our GBA games that we're supposed to be getting for the
before the end of the year, man?
The ambassador program.
Yeah.
They just assumed you forgot.
Yeah. I just said thanks for your money, suckers.
Yeah, I think Battlefield 1943 says otherwise. People are into this shit.
I was reading NeoGAF and there's one thing that said before December. There was another post that said before the end of the year, but then there was another post that said UK owners have to wait till next year.
So when is that? When are we going to get the news that says pretty much when we're good and fucking ready? You know, it's kind of the Blizzard.
Well, I don't understand what these are. Game Boy games. I'll download them and never play them, so I don't really care.
There are some decent Game Boy Advance games.
Though. There are, and there's some decent Virtual Console games that I have that I'll probably never play. So, and the last piece of news that I want to bring up, it's not in the actual news feed, but GameStop has revealed the prices for the PS Vita accessories, and the memory cards are going to cost you out the butthole. For the cheapest one, and do remember that a lot of these games require a memory card to play. The cheapest one is 4 gigabytes. Now, take that into perspective. 4 gigabytes is not a whole lot of memory.
No.
It's $30.
It's how much?
$30.
Oh, my God.
The 8 gig is $45. The 16 gig is $69. And, okay, everybody bitching about Microsoft's hard drive prices, the 32 gigabyte PlayStation Vita memory card costs as much as an Xbox 360 320 gig hard drive. $119.99.
Ridiculous.
GameStop is typically pretty good, you know, when they put stuff up on the site, but a lot of times their prices are placeholders. I mean, how firm do we know these are?
No, GameStop stuff is usually dead on.
Okay.
I mean, their release dates, their prices, they're all usually dead on, because why would they put it up there?
Well, I mean, they could go high, knowing that if they lower the price, people are...
But
the
GameStop,
price lower.
GameStop doesn't even usually put it up there until they have firm details.
Yeah.
I know.
There's a bunch of other stuff here listed.
I mean, it's completely, single-handedly killed my interest in the system.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind how some of this stuff gets past people.
Well, it's the problem with the modern Japanese business model. Which is basically, don't even look at your competition, because we are Sony, and nothing else exists outside of Sony.
And then surely they've learned their lesson by now.
No, the thing is, it's the same mentality that Nintendo has.
Yeah, but look at how the 3DS has done. They know they have to come out of the gate with something fantastic to beat mobile gaming. Because
yeah, and don't tell me that Sony wasn't looking at Nintendo when they announced the price point at E3.
It just absolutely stinks, and I'm sorry, but just because you've given us a decent price, because everyone said, oh, that's a decent price, we weren't expecting that, now they screw us over on the accessories because you need to have that. They don't even give it to you in the box.
Well, wait a minute, what is, now that we know these prices, what is the price of that week early bundle? And what comes with that again? Anybody remember that?
It comes with one game, and was it a 30, or was it 16 gig?
I think it was a... No, it was.
I thought it was like
near.
A 4 gig or an 8 gig.
It was like
enough to handle that one fucking game.
It'll probably be $300.
I'm not. No, that's stupid. That's fucking stupid.
Here, I found it. It comes with the 3G plus Wi-Fi model.
Oh, that one's $299, right?
It's $349. It comes with, so that's $300 right there. It comes with a 4 gig card, and it comes with Little Deviance.
So Little Deviance is $20.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not really a deal.
Yeah, the Canadian bundle comes with the Wi-Fi model, the case. They both come with the case, too. A 4 gigabyte card and Little Deviance for $300. So essentially the price difference is the difference between the 3G and the Wi-Fi model. Yeah, and we're looking at a 4 gig card that costs $30. Holy shit. I mean, this is going back to the original PlayStation.
It's stupid. This is,
I mean,
just
remember,
pure stupidness.
You originally paid for memory cards? I mean, they weren't cheap.
They were $20.
This is going back to how they were.
What they did, too, with the original, especially with PlayStation 2, is they purposely limited the availability of the memory cards so that they were more in demand.
Yeah, and they sold on ridiculous prices on eBay.
Yep. I remember that.
And they removed all... functionality with, you know, the original PlayStation memory cards, too.
Yep.
My whole question to this is, why release their memory cards at such a high price when they know that no one's going to buy it and then have to drop the price anyway?
Well, what they're hoping...
What they're hoping is that everybody's going to bank on buying the system and then not realize that they actually need a memory card.
Yeah, that's what they've always done with their systems. Like, the PS3 is the only one that didn't do that.
Like, I don't understand what you're saying. I thought you needed a memory card for this.
You do, but people don't know that.
Yeah, they're going to buy the system. It's like, cool, I'm going to get like 3 games for this thing and have fun. What? It says it requires a memory card? Yeah. Great, I got to go out and buy a memory card. Well, I better get a 16 gig. What? It's almost $100?
I mean, so what we're looking at is, let's say you buy the Wi-Fi only model. That's $250. You're probably going to want to get, let's say at the very least, an 8 gigabyte card. So that's another $45. So it's taking you already up to $300, including tax, over that. Then you're looking at one game, which is going to take you up. I mean, so you're talking immediately, in order to actually play anything on the system, you're investing, at the minimum, even with the 4 gig card, let's say that, an additional $70, $75.
And then you're
close to $350.
Yeah, I mean, you should expect that if you're going to buy a Wi-Fi only Vita and not have to run out and buy another memory card quickly, you should anticipate $320 plus tax out of the box for a 16 gig card with the system, not including games.
Well, how much space are these games going to take?
Well,
they haven't really released
that
yet.
Well,
we don't really know. Well, the difference is I think the saves are going to be small. But if you want to download games, you're going to need a big-ass memory card.
Yeah, I mean, $350 then, I guess, is what you said, Mike. I mean, that's not a horrible deal for, you know, the system. But after that, if you need more room, then that's going to be ridiculous.
And also, if you look at the fact that for us, you know, whoever gets a PS Vita... When we get codes for downloading games to review, they're going to be downloading. They're not going to send us the actual card that the games comes on. So anybody who wants to review for our site is going to have a big-ass memory card or have to keep bloody deleting.
Well, and you said, Ken, that they're proprietary, so third-party makers won't... They don't have the option of making it.
A third parties eventually will make them, I'm sure, after release, but they won't be...
Really? Does anybody but Sony make memory card? Like, the memory sticks?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
SanDisk?
Yeah.
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 Eventually, SanDisk will probably make one, and the 16 or the big 32 gig will probably run you $100, so it'll be $20 cheaper.
Which is, you know, I don't understand why Sony's making the same thing, same mistake they did when they released the PSP. Those sticks were ungodly high in the price. So yeah. Why are they doing it again when they're gonna drop the price eventually?
Oh, I have a question though. SanDisk makes memory cards because Sony products use them. Sony digital cameras, Sony camcorders use them. Is anything else going to use this new format that would make it worthwhile for a third party to invest in reproducing them?
Oh, yeah, because they'll sell tons of them. If you remember the whole PlayStation 2 memory card debacle, what was the best-selling memory card on the PS2? It was that Mad Catz one.
Yeah.
Because it was $5 cheaper.
Right.
It did everything it needed to.
Michael's got a point in the fact that at the time when the PSP came out and it was kid with the M2 card slot, Sony's phones, Sony's cameras, they all supported the M2 cards. However, they got their hands wrapped over that, and now they support, the phones support micro SD cards, and the cameras support SD cards, which are readily available. This will be the only product that has that card in it.
Yeah, they don't care.
That's the point.
Yeah, but I'm saying that is going to dissuade companies from making it, especially if sales are going to be like the 3DS.
Well, no, because they'll do it for any system. Any company will make a third party. I mean, come on, they made third party memory cards for the Dreamcast,
the GameCube.
Yeah, the GameCube. I mean, some company will pick up a third party license to build these things, and they'll build them $5 to $10 cheaper.
But will it be too late at that point?
No, the system will do... At this point, the way they're marketing this and the way the prices are for all the accessories, we're looking at a repeat of the PSP where it does decent, but it doesn't do great.
Yeah.
They just don't learn, do they? They really don't.
Right, which is what I don't understand. Why don't they learn from their previous mistakes? They're making the same mistakes. Why aren't they learning? As a company, why are they not fucking learning?
Well, the thing is, for everyone they sell... I mean, you gotta look, the markup on these memory cards is huge. And the fact when Sony does this, when they go proprietary, they control the entire distribution chain for the memory type. So while this is dissuading people like me and Drew and I don't know who else on the show from actually going ahead with their intent to purchase one. I mean, if you listen to our E3 podcast, we were gung ho.
Oh,
we
were
absolutely
hard on
ready.
Them,
hell yeah. I was like, I'm buying one. I'm going ahead and pre-order it now.
I mean, I've got two pre-ordered right now. I've got both models pre-ordered. I'm, you know, just to see how that shakes out with the data plan. In other words, if there is one, I wasn't going to get that model. Just to chart how our enthusiasm has eroded over the past 9 months is just crazy. I mean,
that's how Sony does it, though, dude. They can shatter your dreams in a millisecond.
It's just how many other people are out there that are feeling exactly the way we did or are now, where we were so excited because it was striking all the right notes at E3, and then month on month again, these little bits of little bits of information just zapping all of the fun out of it. It's stupid.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
In this day and age, we should have built-in storage of at least. I mean, even the cheap handsets I sell at work, the cheap handset phones like the HTC Wildfire, which is a smartphone but it's the low end one, they come with 2 gigabyte storage. To sell that, especially when the system needs it, to sell storage separately is a complete farce, and I don't know, it just makes me angry.
Alright, well, we'll move on to the Twitter so we can get through this as we are way into it. Sam in Seattle says, the Uncharted series is so good. I love Uncharted 3 story so far. Screw sleep. I love video games. Have a great one, guys. Twisted Biscuit D says, well, I wasn't going to buy Skyrim, but after hearing you guys talked about it, I cracked. One word describes this game. Phenomenal. Addicted.
Yeah. Told you.
Yeah.
The wrong man. He also says, how the hell did Mario to join your crew? Didn't realize he or... originated from East Anglia. Keep up the great show.
Oh, he can go fuck off because he supports Newcastle.
IFHD says, who do you want in the new Super Sony Superbot Smash Brothers game?
Who cares? It'll be on the Vita and I won't play it.
It'll be cross-platform. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you'll be able to play it on your Vita and the PS3 at the same time.
He has a list of a million characters on here. Sackboy, Sir Daniel Fortesque, Cole McGrath, Buzz, a Lemming, an iPad, a Chimera, Eco, Gabe, Logan. I think he was trying to say Tomba, but he put Tombi. Parappa, Kessler, Hades, Zeus, Clockwork, Kratos, maybe, who's Radek? R-A-D-E-S.
Oh, from Killzone.
General Radek.
Oh, okay.
He was the last boss in the second Killzone.
People had names in those games?
Yeah. No. You won't forget that fucker's name, because that fucking fight took me forever.
Jack number 3.
Nathan Drake, Jack Daxter, Ratchet and Clank, Quark, Nefarious. I think he's a Ratchet fan.
Solid Snake?
Snake's not on here at all.
You can't have him as one, because he's not, he's coming to the Xbox. He's a traitor.
Patapon? Sweet Tooth?
Well, Sweet Tooth's in it. I mean, that confirmation shot was Sweet Tooth.
Carmelita Fox? Ape Escape?
Oh, the apes?
Yeah, the apes.
Awesome.
Radio PM says, hope your holidays were good. Did you guys end up getting any Black Friday stuff online? Amazon was price-matching retailers.
Yeah, I did not get anything.
Nope, I didn't either.
My friend Nate, his wife was out shopping, and she managed to find for me the 3 Skylanders. The new ones that came out, so Hex, Wrecking Ball, and Dino Rang, so he'll be sending me those, so thanks, Nate. Appreciate it. Thank you,
sweet.
Julie.
Wow. Nerds!
You know what?
My
yes.
collection.
Hey, you know what? Yes.
Hey, man, I got Skylanders on my Christmas list.
Have you been playing with them in the bath?
No, but I think I'm up to, like, 12 figurines now.
Skylanders in flight.
You know, there was a lot of good Black Friday, but Cyber Monday deals so far suck.
I haven't seen any.
I think we'll be surprised tomorrow. I hope WWE goes up, because I really want to play with Extreme Gamer. And I want to play with Ryan. I loved his review, and I want to get online and play with the Wombat there.
Yeah, I definitely want to see if there's any sale on that, because I definitely want that. But no, go to Amazon. Sucks. If you go to Amazon right now, look at it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that stuff just runs through today, so they haven't even announced tomorrow's stuff yet.
Well, no. I mean, you can see their deals. They have a link for Cyber Monday deals. It's not just for today.
Yeah, they put them up early.
I'm looking at only, like, Lightning deals that go through the end of the day today.
No, I'm not looking at Lightning deals. They have their whole Cyber Monday deal up.
Yeah. Let me see here. I can't find it.
All right, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're just not good. I'm sorry.
Key134 says, I understand it's customary to say Happy Thanksgiving to people who celebrate it, so I hope you enjoyed yourselves. Wanted to ask, who's all getting Mario Kart for the 3DS? I like the look, but have never owned a Mario Kart game before.
Oh,
I am.
Should.
By the way, Sonic Generations for the 3DS has not disappointed me, and I hope to get Super Mario 3D Land soon. As you should.
Sweet. I heard that Sonic Generations was pretty good on the 3DS.
He says, I think things are finally looking up for the 3DS.
I agree.
We'll see what next year brings.
Yeah, we'll see when that Vita comes out and nobody buys it.
DJ Mitsuhara says, the fall rush may be finished for you guys, but the Vita is coming in 3 weeks. Please pray for my wallet. Played Vita all weekend. Played 11 of the 26 launch titles, and I want 7 of those. Ignore those Red Sun Gamer tweets. Trying to watch the Liverpool game.
I wonder how that's treating him.
IFHD says, with all the new Xbox rumors, what will the next gen bring in payment method? Ad-supported systems like the Kindle feature. People pay hundreds of dollars to get Modern Warfare 3 early. Will that entice Activision to release a special early version, first edition?
Oh, they could do something like they do with EA Sports.
The season pass or whatever?
Yeah, like for Elite owners, they could drop it a week early to get people to renew their Elite.
Wouldn't put it past him.
I'm a marketing genius.
Yeah, until it happens. Nicole584 says Target screwed up today's ad and has the 1 year PSN Plus for $15.
What?
Argued and got them to honor it. Score.
Yeah, they kind of have to. If they, wow, that's a big mess up.
Well, so everybody needs to jump on that.
Hell yeah.
PlayStation Plus is well worth it.
What did they screw up on? Sorry?
John, wake up.
$15, but they have a correction in store or something.
Okay. It doesn't matter. I would still think they had to honor it.
They would. I mean...
Yeah, if it's in their ad, they have to honor it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's the bait and the switch.
Che Morongo says, I spent an hour decorating my house in Skyrim. I have issues.
What the fuck is going on?
And finally, ShotCaller33 says, a wise man once said, bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks. Alrighty then.
Yeah. I wish we had a cane with an auto-tuned voice box on it to say that.
Are you talking about Zemos?
I am talking about Zemos.
Yeah. I'm going to say one thing real quick. I learned everything I ever needed to know from Belle Biv DeVoe's Poison.
That girl is poison.
That's all you need to know.
That's all you need to know.
All right, that's all the tweets that I have, so there you go. Do you have any reviews, John or Drew?
No.
Nope.
Oh, well, good.
Can I just quickly say that this week is the last week I'm growing this godforsaken mustache for charity, so please head over to my Just Giving page. It's www.justgiving.com/JohnWUK. I'm sure Ken will be happy to put another link up there. Just £1, just give us some money. Drew was really kind enough until he to donate me £10 until he realised how much that is in dollars.
Yeah.
700 million.
Please, it's for a fantastic gaming cause, and I would really appreciate it if you could just spare a couple of pounds.
There you go. So, Jason, I guess you can do your shout outs now.
Well, I think John has a shout out this week, don't you?
Yeah, I was guest starring on the FTG, Front Towards Gamer podcast.
Did you fall asleep in that show too?
I did fall. No, I acted. I got my wires crossed a bit. When he said, do you want to come on, I thought he meant just to shoot the breeze with the guys when they record. Actually, no, I'm the interview in the middle of the show.
I got to listen to this.
Which was really strange because I literally didn't know that until about a minute before we started recording. I was like, so who else is going to be on the show? Oh no, God, you're the interview. What? Oh shit, okay. So it was just like great to actually sit down. We chatted about video games, about my time here with you guys on the site.
Do you remember our names?
I did make a joke. I did make a joke about that. but he's such a nice guy over there. Definitely worth listening to the Front Towards Gamer podcast and checking out their site.
Well, there you go.
Somebody's not happy.
What are you talking about?
We hear a child.
Oh, he's laughing. He's giggling, he's laughing. You know.
Oh, it sounds like he's crying.
Oh.
Hold on, they make a PlayStation Move sniper rifle gun. That's retarded.
Anyway, go ahead, Jason.
Well, of course, shout out to Front Towards Gamer podcast. Shout out to the All Gen Gamer podcast. And I think that'll be it for this week.
Alrighty. Well, I guess that wraps up the show.
I'm sorry.
I speak baby. He wants to be called Stormageddon.
Stormageddon. Yeah, that's so funny.
So, Jason, I guess that wraps up the show so you can do your little thing.
Alrighty. and it goes something like this.
Epic fail. Welcome to the N4G Podcast.
Me, Mario.
Zero Dollar.
This is gonna be a very interesting episode.
Gather time.
Greetings, programs.
I got lost trying to find my way to the secret underground N4G radio lair.
The Wombat.
Always been being angry.
Play games, not consoles. No fanboys allowed.
And then I killed the dragon. 8.0.
Killed the dragon.